Good afternoon again, and I am going to invite you to turn back to the passage that we have been looking at today, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading from verse 13 to 18. I'm going to read it again so that we can remind ourselves of the context. And then we will proceed and finish our reflection with the third point of the 3 points that I announced. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 18. And after they departed, see, an angel of the Lord appeared during a dream to Joseph, saying, "Be raised up, take the child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I say to you, for Herod seeks the child to kill him." After he rose up, he took the child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the end of Herod, in order to fulfill that which was being said by the Lord through the prophets, saying, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." Then Herod, after he saw that he was tricked by the Magi, he was enraged greatly, and he sent to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all its region from 2 years old and below, according to the time which he ascertained from the Magi. Then it was fulfilled that which was said through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice in Ramah was heard weeping and much mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she desired not to be comforted because they were no more." And after Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared during a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Be raised up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for the ones seeking the life of the child have died." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went into Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We want to just review what we have said since earlier today regarding this passage. We talked about the relative challenge of evil in our society. We talk about evil being persuasive, manifesting in what we call the five global giants: spiritual emptiness, self-centered leadership, extreme poverty, pandemic, diseases, illiteracy, and we can add a lot more to that. You know, we have an onslaught of human trafficking and all sorts of maladies. We believe that the issue of Christmas, the incarnation, really is as a direct response to this evil that God having promised through the Proto-Evangelion to send a hope to dispel with the effects of evil, happened in Jesus Christ. We noted quite clearly that though this is a dark story, it is a Christmas story, and from it we can learn a number of things that are critical to us as believers, particularly in this epoch. We said there are three things that we could learn from this story. The first of which we noted was that God's purpose in this world is protected by God's providence. We noted that what we see in Jesus was indeed prophesied years before as God's response to the need this world had for an answer to sin. And that in this world, even today, as it was back in the day, the enemy continues to try to upend God's program, but to no avail. We also noted, secondly, that God's people in this world are expected to be obedient custodians and partners in fulfilling God's purpose. We noted that Joseph and Mary, had they not been obedient, then perhaps we'll be singing a different tune today and not be, quote unquote, celebrating and being festive about this season. We said in application that in order to complete God's plan, God's people must be able to perceive God's program and be obedient to God's direction. We want to close this reflection by looking at the rest of this text. And the point I would like us to see from this text comes out of a very interesting context here. In order to understand this context, we need to go back and look at what happened when that started this issue in the first place. In chapter 2, verse 7, in fact, the earlier part of chapter 2 talked about the Magi who came to, having heard, these were astrologers who heard and seen the star and seen what was happening, came to find Jesus. Verse 7 says, "And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come.'" Underline. "I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country and went another way. I want us to see from this, in this final point, that God's purpose in this world prevails and cannot be curtailed by human atrocity. God's purpose in this world prevails and cannot be curtailed by human atrocity. Please observe that Herod was being disingenuous. He told the Magi, when he heard about the Christ child, "Find him and come and tell me so that I will go and worship." That was the trick. Please note that later on the text says, having noted that he was tricked by the Magi, it seems to suggest that as we live out our days here in this epoch, we must remember that the enemy is an enemy of deception. And in this context, his deception was outwitted by the wisdom of these men. Brothers and sisters, we cannot afford as God's people to become so engaged in this excitement that we miss and forget our wits. Forget the wisdom of God in traversing this current evil age. He decided that he was going to hoodwink the Magi. Not everybody that presents themselves as being interested in the things of God are so interested. And as God's people, we must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves as we traverse this current evil age. Even at this Christmas, when you observe many believers and how they handle Christmas, you get the sense that they have lost their focus. These wise men didn't lose their focus. And God ensured that they were not, they themselves were not tricked, but became the tricksters in the fulfillment of God's program. Before Herod's death, chapter 2, verse 3 said that Herod was disturbed by the news that a king from the Jews was born. Herod was known to be one that was troubled with paranoia. The Bible says that he was disturbed. The word there is paraso, which means that he was agitated. He was riled up because now there was a challenge to his kingdom. Make no mistake, what Jesus represents is a challenge to this current evil age. And there are those of us who sometimes think that the two will coexist. There is no coexistence with what the kingdom of God is about and what the kingdom of this age is about. And what Christmas represents is a line of demarcation from what this evil age stands for and what God stands for. We as God's people must never be confused. Never be confused with what this world has to offer. This world, the Bible says, the God of this age have blinded the eyes of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of God. Understand that we have to keep our eyes open. Herod was stirred and troubled and disheveled because he recognized that there was a kingdom that challenged his own. Herod was riled up because on the surface he was power crazy. And behind the scene he was an agent of the evil one. Behind the scene He was carrying out the program, the plan of Satan. And I want you to realize how he was used of the devil. And this is something that happens today. Many tyrannical leadership that we see over this world are being used by the evil one. And that is why we must be careful as the people of God to test the spirits, to see if they are of God. He made a desperate attempt to deceive the Magi, but the scripture said that they defied him because of a dream they had had. This made him furious. This made him mad. He decided to have the last laugh and to outwit the Magi and kill a number of children. Let me tell you something. Evil will stop at no length to try to break the program of God. And a lot of what you see happening in our world today, it is just that. Even in our own country, the name of Jesus has become a almost a cursed word. We are living in a day when those of us who believe in Christ may even come to the point of facing persecution. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for that? Or are we so, as I said earlier, ingrained in the system that we're not seeing how evil is lurking and moving to try to undo the things of God? This made him furious. He decided to have the last laugh. And he decided to kill the innocents. To kill those who were young boys under two. With a hope that he might catch the escaping Christ child. Not knowing that God was in the middle of it, sending the boy to Egypt. The word there, enrage, ethumothe, mean passion. It was mad. Because the most natural route by which the Magi could have returned was through Jerusalem. Herod knew that the Magi had purposely avoided to return to him. He knew it. He was known for acts like this massacre that was described here. Let me share a few things with you about this Herod. A young but popular competitor, a high priest, had a drowning accident in a pool that was only a few feet deep. It was said that that was orchestrated by Herod. Enraged at his favorite wife, Herod had her strangled, discovering her innocence only afterwards. He was the kind of guy that was deceived into having two of his innocent sons executed. On his deathbed, Herod had another son executed who was admittedly guilty. And although probably fictitious, a purported comment of the emperor is appropriate. And the emperor said, it is better to be one of Herod's pigs than to be one of Herod's sons. This was a dark man. Josephus, the historian, the Jewish historian, reports that Herod ordered nobles executed at his death to ensure that mourning would be there when he died. They were instead released. So this is the kind of person This is the kind of culture and context that Jesus came into. A culture and context that is not dissimilar to the one that we are living in now, where people are always trying to get over on the gospel. People are always trying to undermine, to snuff out. Just did a taught a course on the foundations of the Christian faith. And when I look at how the enemy tried to undermine, to destroy, to snuff out Christianity over the years, it's phenomenal. And we must not forget that we are in a spiritual war. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in high places. The Bible says that as God's people, we should recognize that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But God's purposes will prevail. Verse 17 indicates that evil will rail at the advancement of God's program. And one of the things we must do and we must realize is that we must not be surprised when the church is being persecuted. We must not be surprised when people say, Jesus tells us in the word that men will revile and despitefully abuse you, will kill you thinking that they are doing a service to God. So really, while it is good to celebrate, this is a time of preparation. This is a time of preaching. This is a time to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ against evil. One of the things I realize that is happening in this text is that Joseph was being used as an instrument. The Bible says that while Joseph was there, he was patient. He was patient. Sometimes we have to learn to wait before God. Sometimes we have to learn to watch the program of God and move as God say move. The Bible says while Joseph was in Egypt, he got another dream. Those who were seeking the death of the child are now dead. You must now bring the child back. Because Jesus had work to do. You know what is funny? I learned a little saying once. It says, without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Do you realize how important it was that Joseph could have been used by God in this experience? This Christmas, as you think about the celebration, as you think and regain perspective as to what it has said, that there is a spiritual warfare going on as we speak. How are we allowing ourselves to be instruments? So it's one thing to perceive aright. It's one thing to be willing to obey. But are we being used? Are we being used? What has God said to you that He wants you to do to be a part of advancing His program through this church, within this community? Joseph was God's instrument. Are we God's instruments? Or have we fallen into complacency? Have we just lived our lives, que sera, sera, whatever will be with me, will be? How much are we sharing this Christ at school, at work, at home? There are so many that are dying from the opioid epidemic. So many that are being taken in slavery and have their organs cut out and sold. So many that are suffering from the injustices of tyrannical leaders all over this world. When we are God's people, to carry this Christmas message, a message of hope. But are we allowing ourselves to be used, or are we just taken up with our own lives?